Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Okay. Shir Chavches, the 28th installment of the study of Sefer HaMitzvahs, comprises two of the 613 commandments. Mitzvah Tezvav, the first mitzvah is in the Rambam's system, the 15th mitzvah, a very, very well-known mitzvah, a mitzvah that most Jews fulfill in great detail. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch, in his commentary in the Chinuch on this mitzvah, in the book of Chinuch, it's mitzvah Tav Chav Gimel, which is 423. Minchas Chinuch, who usually brings a lot of commentary on the words of the Chinuch, who often quotes Maimonides, the Rambam, he says, you know, with this mitzvah, it is discussed at so much at length in the earlier commentaries in the Rishonim and in the later scholars, and it's noheged bizman hazeh. It's one of those mitzvahs we actually do today, and it's everybody has to do it. There's no difference between gender or different levels of Jew. Every class of Jews have to do this, and therefore, he says it's not as necessary to illuminate and amplify and elucidate. This is a very well-known mitzvah. So the mitzvah is in the newer version of the translation of the Sefer HaMitzvos, it reads, Hatzivui shenitztavinu b'maisei mezuzah, the commandment that we were given in the act or the action that's related to mezuzah, which is a better read than the former, older translation. The older translation of Mitzvah Tezvav is, Shetzivanu la'asot mezuzah, that God has given us the commandment to make a mezuzah, but you know, there actually is no commandment to make a mezuzah, only the making of a mezuzah, which requires laborious efforts in producing parchment and writing the mezuzah, is only necessary to fulfill the mezuzah, which in the Minyan HaKotzer, then the Rambam, when he enumerates the mitzvahs in the one-line enumerations, he says this mitzvah is likvoa mezuzah, to establish, to affix a mezuzah. As it is written, uchtavtam al mezuzah. So even though the Torah says uchtavtam, which means you shall write, the mitzvah is not to write the mezuzah. And if you write mezuzahs all day, but you don't put mezuzahs up on your door, you did not fulfill the mitzvah. And if you never wrote a mezuzah in your life, but all of your doors are mezuzot, and they're affixed, then the mitzvah would have been done. So at any rate, the mitzvah certainly is not to make the mezuzah, although in all likelihood, the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs borrows on the verbiage of the Torah itself. The syntax of the scripture of the Torah is uchtavtam, so therefore the Rambam says the idea of maisei mezuzah. By the way, the Sefer HaChinuch simply says likboa mezuzah. That's very, very clear. He says it's a mitzvah to affix a mezuzah, shenemar, as it's written, uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha v'sharecha. Going back to the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he says that the mitzvah of doing the mezuzah, this mezuzah thing, is a commandment from God, as is written in the Torah, uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha v'sharecha. You should write it on your gates, in your homes and in your gates. This mitzvah is repeated a second time in the Torah, and the details of this mitzvah, as a rule, are all contained in a mesechet known as Menachot in the third chapter. So to give a little bit of depth and flavoring to the mitzvah of mezuzah. First of all, let me share with you that according to the Sefer HaChinuch, Misharshe HaMitzvah, of the root origins of this mitzvah, is the concept that we should always remember. Lihiyot zikaron la'adam ba'munas Hashem, that a person should always remember his faith in God, b'cholet, in every time. Im bo'o lebeito v'tzeito, every time he comes into his home, pardon me, read that right, b'cholet bo'o lebeito v'tzeito, every time he comes in and every time he comes out, he always sees the mezuzah. And this, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is much like I amplified and described it with regard to the mitzvah of tefillin. In the Rambam himself, he adds a little bit of a different twist to this. The Rambam says in Perek Dalad, Halacha Yud Gimel, Chayev Adam li Zaher b'mezuzah, a person is obligated to be very careful about fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah, Shehi Chovat HaKol Tamid. It is the obligation of every Jew always. There's no such thing as a day we don't have a mezuzah. There are days we don't put on tefillin. There are no days when a Jew does not have the mitzvah of mezuzah. Anytime a person will go in and out, yivga, he encounters yichud Hashem, the mezuzah that represents the oneness of God, as the name of God is upon it, and when you see the mezuzah, v'yizkor, much like the Sefer HaChinuch, who says this is about memory, you will remember ahavato, your love for God, and it will wake us up from our sleep and from our complacency, which is something that happens as time passes. And you remind yourself that the only thing that is eternal is God and His Torah and mitzvahs, and everything else is evanescent and passing. And as such, when a person remembers this, when it comes back to him, miyad hu chozer ledato, a person is right back on track. He regains, he recaptures his focus. V'holeich b'darkei mesharim, he goes in ways which are just, in ways which are upright. May the Ramban, Nachmanides, in the end of Parshat Bo, says very interestingly that the takana of mezuzah is something that is relatively inexpensive. You know, people complain that they have to pay $50 for a mezuzah, but when they have to pay for a fancy alarm system and it costs them $5,000, they don't blink twice usually. That's what it costs. Or other kinds of things, that usually the cases that people buy, these fancy cases, are much more expensive than the parchment itself, and they have really no meaning. That is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to put it in a fancy case. The mitzvah is to have a kosher parchment, and it's relatively inexpensive. If you think about what it is and how long it could last for, a person could buy a mezuzah, it could last them easily 50, 60 years. There's nothing else we buy. We spend much more money on our Blackberries and iPhones, and they're rendered moot usually within a year to a year and a half, 2 years max. So you're really getting very good value. And the Ramban says it's bezuz echad. It costs a little more than a zuz today, but at any rate, it's a relatively inexpensive mezuzah. And with it, a Jew embraces the notion of God's oneness in this world and God's providence over all that is found in this world and the faith in God from every which side. And this is, a Jew reminds himself of God's great kindness of taking us out of Mitzrayim and what a great merit it is for us today to live in accordance with the will of Hashem, bringing merit to our ancestors as well. So this is a little bit about the mitzvah of mezuzah, which must be fulfilled by every single Jew. The question is raised whether or not one is required to have a mezuzah in a home that he owns b'shutfut, in partnership with a Gentile. And there's a dispute about this. The Minchas Chinuch seems to indicate that the Rambam holds that you would have to have a mezuzah. There's a famous tshuva of Rebbe Kiva Eger in which he says that whether or not you require a mezuzah if your partner is a Gentile in this home or in this building would be connected to two opinions in the Tosfot, whether or not the biblical mitzvah of mezuzah applies to your home only, and that when it's not your home, you're renting the home or leasing the apartment or the condo, that you have to have a mezuzah only as a rabbinic injunction, or whether or not, wherever you live, regardless if you own the property or not. So in some way, it's connected to this. At any rate, this is a much a longer and sophisticated and detailed discussion, which I don't want to go into now. Certainly in today's day and age, the custom generally is that if somebody owns a property together with a partner and the Jew is living there, that certainly the custom is that they would in fact affix a mezuzah as well. And this is something that every man, woman, and children as a mitzvah of chinuch are obligated to fulfill to the best of their ability. We do not only have to put a mezuzah on the front door, that's a misnomer. Mezuzot have to be placed on every door to dirat kavod, a decent living space, living quarters, which includes walk-in closets that are bigger than 36 square feet, which in Midtown Manhattan is called a bedroom. So 36 square feet is not so small. And that's a place where a person can dwell. And as long as it's dwellable, then you're required to have a mezuzah, washrooms, saunas, mikvahs, and for that matter, a prison would not be required a mezuzah because this is not dirat kavod. It's no pleasure to be in these places and there's no joy of being able to live there. This mitzvah is now put together with another mitzvah, a mitzvah that is not nearly as well known and not nearly as well observed or fulfilled, unfortunately. It is the 18th mitzvah of the Torah in the Rambam's system of mitzvah numerology. However, in the Sefer HaChinuch, it is the last mitzvah, mitzvah Taryag, the 613th mitzvah, because in the Torah, it does show up at the very end. And the mitzvah is a commandment from God that every one of us, and this refers specifically to males, has a obligation, a Torah obligation, to write his own Torah. To write his own Torah. Every single Jew is obligated to write his own Torah. However, obviously, I may not be able to write my own Torah, and in that case, I would have to hire somebody to write a Torah for me. The Rambam does say, "Ve'im yichtav biyado," if you did write the Torah with your own hand, "Hareza meshubach me'od." This is extremely, extraordinarily praiseworthy. "V'hu adif," and that is certainly the best thing to do. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Menachos on page 30 that says, "Ksavoy," the person who wrote a Torah himself, "Maila alav akosov," the Torah considers it "Ki'ilu kiblo mehar Sinai." It's as if he received the Torah from God's hand, from Mount Sinai. So this is certainly a wonderful aspiration to have, that somebody should someday be able to actually write his own Torah. The imi afshalol kasva biyado, it's self-understood, not everybody's going to have the talent, not everybody will have the time and the ability to become proficient enough to write their own Torah. So then, chayev hu liknoso, then you must buy a Sefer Torah. Or yivakesh sheikhtavu b'shvilo, you can buy a Sefer Torah that somebody already wrote. Or, even better would be to hire somebody to write a Torah on your behalf, and he would be your shliach, your emissary, your agent. The Torah says this in the very, very end, in the second to the last parsha of the Torah, Parshat Hazinu, it is written, Kistvu lachem et hashira hazot. Moshe Rabbeinu says, write for yourselves this shira. Now, this song refers, of course, to Parshat Hazinu. The entirety of Parshat Hazinu is considered to be a song. It's sung or chanted in a special cantillation, and it's written in the Torah in a unique form. However, we do learn from this that since you have to write the whole song, now that means you have to write the whole Torah. And now you're thinking, that's a bit of a stretch. Write the song is one thing. That's maybe doable. Write a whole Torah. Well, the Rama says you have to understand. It's not permitted to write a Torah, individual parshiot. You're not allowed to write pieces of a Torah. So therefore, if the Torah said you have to write the song, there is really only one way to write it. The only way to write it is to write the whole Torah. And that's why we understand that this mitzvah is something that's incumbent upon each and every Jew to write the whole Torah. The Rambam goes on to say that this is the language of the meaning of the Torah et Hashira Hazot, means kol haTorah hakolelet, means the whole Torah, which includes this Shira. The syntax of the Gemara about this mitzvah in Masechet Sanhedrin on page 21b is as follows. Omar Rava. Rava said, even if somebody's father already performed this mitzvah, and his father or grandfather bequeathed a Sefer Torah to him, so he doesn't have to write a Torah. It's great. It's taken care of. Nonetheless, says Rava, that's not the case. Mitzvah lichtov bishalo. It's a mitzvah that you should write a Sefer Torah. Shenemar, as it is written, va'ata, and now, kitvu lochem et hashira hazot. So it doesn't say, take the book from somebody else. It says, you write this song. And the Gemara asks, Eisve Abaya, Abaya asks a question on the opinion of Rava, that after all, we said in the Mishnah that a king has a mitzvah, kotev lo sefer Torah lishmo, that a king has to write a special sefer Torah. And the reason is, kedei shelo yizgar b'shal aveisav, that the person shouldn't get too carried away, and he shouldn't say, oh, my father has left me, that's not good enough. Your ancestors left you a Torah, it's very nice. You have to write a Torah yourself. So Abaya says, hey, one second, if we had to understand that statement in the Talmud properly, it means melech in, a king, has an obligation. Hedyot, if a person is not a king, a regular person, lo. And the Gemara says that's not correct. Hasam le'nitzricha, over there this wasn't necessary to tell you about one Torah, but that pasuk is telling you ela l'shtei Torot. He has to have an additional Torah scroll. As it says, v'katav lo et mishneh haTorah. Mishneh in Hebrew, biblical Hebrew especially, means double, a second. So you have to have shtei Torot. Chidatanya, as we learned in a brayse, v'katav lo es mishneh haTorah, shtei Torot. In other words, that the chiluk, says the Rambam, between a melech and a hedyot, between a king in his obligation of this mitzvah and a regular Jew in the obligation of this mitzvah is, shekol odom chayiv lichtev sefer Torah echad. Every single person, every single Jew is obligated to write at least one Torah. V'hamelech, And the king, Shnei Sifrei Torot, he has an obligation to write two Sifrei Torot, as is explained in the second chapter of Masechet Sanhedrin. The Rambam concludes this mitzvah by telling us that the dinim, the laws of writing the Sefer Torah and its conditions, are generally found in the third chapter of Masechet Menachot, page 30 and onwards, and the beginning of Masechet Bava Basra. We also find this a little bit in Masechet Shabbat. So what's the reason? Why does every Jew have to actually write a Sefer Torah? What's behind this? The Sefer Achinuch says that the idea of this mitzvah, the Sefer Achinuch's description of the mitzvah is very similar to the Rambam's, and he says Mishar Sheha Mitzvah. He says Yedua b'bnei Adam. It is well known that about human nature. Shem Oisim called Devreim Lefi Ha'achana Hanimtzarslam. People do things in accordance with what's available. Availability is critical to people's behavioral norms, and therefore God says everybody should always have a Torah available. That's why you should write a Torah. That doesn't mean, by the way, that in today's day and age where we don't use the Sefer Torah, that its mitzvah is rendered moot. Because as the Sefer Achinuch always says, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, amongst the root origins, amongst the sources, amongst the reasons, we never know the full reason for a mitzvah. And even when that reason is not applicable, the mitzvah is still applicable. However, one of the reasons is that we should have Torah scrolls to read. And a person should have a Torah at all times, Sheyuchal Likras Bo Tamid. He shouldn't have to go to his friend. Excuse me, please, can I learn in your Torah? You have your own Torah. If you have your own Torah, you're going to read your own Torah. If you're always going to borrow a Torah, it's always a good reason, you know, not to study Torah. And it says, L'ma'an yilma, that you will learn L'yiras Hashem, to revere God. And therefore, a person has to know and appreciate and understand the mitzvot, which are so precious and so treasured, more so than finest gold and jewels, says the Sefer Achinuch. And that's why the Torah says every one of us has to make hishtadlut, has to make every effort possible, even if your ancestors have left you or bequeathed you a Sefer Torah, we still have to write our own. Why? Leman yirbu asvarim meinenu. There should be an abundance of Torah scrolls. We shouldn't know what to do with the Torah scrolls. We have so many. Nobody should ever have to wonder, oi, where will I get a Torah scroll? How will I study Torah? But rather, everybody will have easy. It'll be within their reach, easy for them to study from the Torah. And therefore, when people have new books, new Sifrei Torah, it's a different kind of passion, a different kind of enjoyment, and it generates a special commitment to the study of Hashem's Torah. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that the Rosh, in his commentary on Masechet Bava Basra, says that it's actually, in today's day and age, we're able to fulfill this mitzvah by having Hebrew books. He says, because even in the Rosh's times already, people were not studying from a Sefer Torah hardly. Sefer Torah was generally only read in a shul. And therefore, that everybody should have Hebrew books. The Rebbe made this one of his 10 mitzvah campaigns, that every single Jewish home should be a bayit malei svarim. And if you follow the reasoning of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it just makes so much sense. It just makes perfect sense, because if a home has books, then people will study. If there's no books, nobody's going to study. It's invariable. You have to make it available. If you make it available to people, then the chances of them using it rise precipitously. And this is the reason why we fulfill the mitzvah in today's day and age by having Hebrew books. That, of course, does not take the place of the actual mitzvah. It would not be the actual. It would be the metaphoric fulfillment of this mitzvah. And it would be the spirit of the mitzvah. But the letter of the law remains that it is a mitzvah for every Jew, at least once in their lifetime, to have a Sefer Torah written, either by themselves. Very few people can do that, but people generally commission a Sefer Torah. Oftentimes people do it to honor a loved one, or sometimes people do it in honor of a birth. People who have the extra money to be able to do something like that, if somebody is able to, it is certainly something that one is required to do, and something that each and every Yid should aspire to do. Very interestingly, despite all of this, it is invariable there will be some Jews who cannot afford to write their own Sefer Torah. And it is extremely unlikely that every Jew should be able to actually write a Sefer Torah. So how does the Torah expect this? And the answer is that the Gemara tells us, if you write even one letter, kol magia afilo eis achas, you write even one letter, you fix one letter in a Sefer Torah, then it's considered as if you wrote the entire Torah. And because of this, it is an ancient Jewish custom, very, very old Jewish custom, that before a Torah is completed, people have the opportunity to fill in the letters. And by filling in one letter of a Sefer Torah, you fulfill this mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. There's a fascinating tshuva of the Noida B'Yehuda, that there was once a Torah that came to a Jewish community, and they did not know if it was a kosher Torah. There were monks who wrote Torahs then also, which would not make it a kosher Torah. And many, many details and conditions that have to apply to make a Sefer Torah a kosher Torah. So they asked the Noida B'Yehuda, how do we know, how do monks get a Torah? How do we know it's a good Torah? So the Noida B'Yehuda wrote back to them. He said, go see the Torah, roll it to the end, and see if the end is a little bit sloppy. And if the last letters are not all exactly in the lines, you should buy the Sefer Torah. So they went, they looked, and they saw it was a little bit sloppy. The Noida B'Yehuda said, in those days people respected rabbis, they bought the Sefer Torah on the spot. They came to him and said, Rebbe, are you like a prophet or something? You have Ruach HaKodesh? How did you know? He said, no, it was very simple. I know that the Jewish tradition is, if we're finishing a Torah, we try to get everybody to write a letter to fulfill this mitzvah. The monks for sure would not know about that, he said. So therefore, he said, I figured if you're going to go look and see the letters written that way, then you could be sure that this is a Sefer Torah that came from Jewish people. The Rebbe once said that the mitzvah of Sefer Torah represents the greatest act of Ahavat Yisrael, because it's the kind of mitzvah that necessarily requires the efforts and the resources of many so that it can be fulfilled. It's a kind of mitzvah you can't fulfill on your own. There are some mitzvahs we can't do. Only a melech could do certain mitzvahs. So if you're not a king, you can't do that mitzvah. Some mitzvahs only a Kohen Gadol could do. Some mitzvahs only a regular Kohen could do. Some mitzvahs only a Levi can do. And by the way, all those three people have to be different. The Levi is not a Kohen, although a Kohen could become a Kohen Gadol. The Levi certainly can't become a Kohen Gadol. And neither the Levi nor the Kohen can ever become a melech, because he has to be from the tribe of Yehuda. So the Torah makes it impossible for us to do every mitzvah. So our sages tell us that some mitzvahs, the melech is motzi. He fulfills the mitzvah for everybody else. So there are mitzvot like that we actually cannot do. And then there are mitzvahs that we can do. And ones we can do, we must do. This mitzvah is one of the mitzvahs that we can do. And therefore we must do. So if somebody cannot do it in its completion, we see that to expect that everybody will be able to afford to commission a Torah is a little bit far-fetched. But everybody could at some point participate in the writing of a Torah, write a letter in a Torah. The Rebbe wanted that every single person should buy for a dollar a letter in a Sefer Torah. And whenever Yid is connected to a Sefer Torah, ultimately this mitzvah is fulfilled. It brings about greater unity. A Sefer Torah makes a safer world. And we hope, Bezrat Hashem, that very soon we will greet Mashiach with all of our Sifrei Torah. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen.